to John 6 and verse 63. This is something that's been on my heart for several weeks now. And you know, you don't have to look very far to see and to understand that the ways of man are failing. They're failing greatly. That the reason of man no longer has any reason to it at all. It never really has, but man's reason becomes more unreasonable every day. And there are things that are going on in this world that we can't even begin to understand in the natural. If you have not been filled with the baptism of the Spirit yet, I cannot encourage you enough to seek God for it. That if you think you're going to continue on in your Christian life, being able to reason things just in your own natural flesh, I will tell you, you are going to fail. You are going to fall. The things that are going on in this world are too great for the flesh to handle. And it's not going to get any easier. It is only going to get worse as we continue to come to the coming of our Lord. So this is things that God's really been speaking to me. Because we really need to understand the Holy Spirit. We need to understand this one very simple thing that we nod our head and go, yeah, I know that. But I can tell you, even as much as God has been speaking to me in the last couple weeks, and I understand this and I know this and I see this differently than I did a couple weeks ago, I'm not even really scratching the surface yet. God is a spirit. He is a spirit being. We are a spirit being. We live in a fleshly house that He has given us to live on this earth that He created for us, but we are a spirit being. We have a soul that helps us to function in this world. Our mind, our will, our emotions helps us to determine things and understand things and work things out. But we are not even our soul. We are a spirit. God is a spirit. We need to know the Spirit. We need to not know the Spirit, and whatever reason that we can come up with as we look through the Scripture, but your spirit needs to know the Spirit of God. And I've been very specifically asking God over the last couple weeks to know His Spirit in my spirit, to be able to recognize Him at a spirit level, not because I felt a cold chill, not because I felt a hot flash, not because I got excited and nervous for some unbeknownst reason, but to really recognize the Spirit of God. Last week, down at my parents' church, there was a pastor from Africa that was there named Eastwood Anaba. And one of the things that I found just awe-inspiring was that when I got there, the first night he was there, I got there really late. And when I walked in that place, I didn't feel this excitement. I didn't feel this anticipation. I didn't feel this cold chill, this hot sweat. I didn't feel any of these things that we we recognize the Spirit as in our soul and in our body. But truly, very truly, the Spirit of God was there in a way that I've never, I can say I've never really seen or experienced before. The next night that he was there, that Tuesday, I have never felt such a presence of God. I have never felt such a weight of glory in a place. Very different than I would have ever identified the Spirit of God before. We need to know him spirit to spirit. So John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. As I was reading that, I was looked at the word quicken. And here is the word quicken. The word quicken means primarily to make alive, to vivify, to revive or resuscitate as from death or an inanimate state. It means to make alive in a spiritual sense, to communicate a principle of grace to hasten, to accelerate, as to quicken motion, speed, or flight, to sharpen, to give keener perception to stimulate, to incite, as to quicken the appetite or taste, to quicken desires. To revive, to cheer, to reinvigorate, to refresh by new supplies of comfort and grace. So we're going to break this down a little bit in the Bible. And then we'll talk a little bit more about the Spirit. So the first definition says primarily to make alive, to vivify, to revive, to resuscitate, as from death or inanimate state. This is what the word vivify means. It means to endue with life, to animate, to make, to be living. Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. To vivify. Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That is reanimating a dead life. The power of his resurrection. Second definition of it, to make alive in a spiritual sense, to communicate a principle of grace to. Acts 2:1-4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The third part of the definition is to hasten, to accelerate, as to quicken motion, speed, or flight. We see this in Paul's life from the very moment that he hears the Lord's voice. He is very quick to obey and he holds nothing back. Acts 9, 15 through 22. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my Father's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way that thou camest, hath sent me, that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain... Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is this not he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews that dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. To sharpen, to give keener perception to stimulate, to incite, as to quicken the appetite or taste, to quicken desires. Acts 4, 29 through 33. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. A great grace was upon them all. When the Spirit of God comes, it does something in you. It increases hunger. It increases appetite in you. Something inside you wants to see something happen. We are in days where we need that type of unquenchable hunger, unsatisfied hunger when it comes to the things of God. An unquenchable thirst for the Holy Spirit. We need this. And the Holy Ghost does this. Acts 13, 6 through 12. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the county, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so was his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool, and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. The power of God moving through you will incite things in people. It will quicken an appetite. It will create a desire, a taste for the things of God. The fifth definition: to revive, to cheer, to reinvigorate, to refresh by new supplies of comfort or of grace. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. John 16:13-14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will receive of mine and show it unto you. John 20:21-22. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So obviously the Holy Ghost is a very important thing. It's not a light thing at all. It's the thing we talk about. We talk about feeling the Holy Ghost. But we don't really know the Holy Ghost. And we need to know the Holy Ghost. Knowing God the Father, we comprehend, we understand that easily. Whether we've had a good father or a bad father, we understand a father. We know who he is in our lives. And so it's easy for us to identify with the Father. Jesus, it's how we come to the Father. We think we know him pretty well. But can I tell you, without the Holy Spirit, you really know very little about Jesus. Because he said right here that he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear that you speak, and he will show you all things to come. He shall glorify me, Jesus talking about himself. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to do. For he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit receives from Jesus, and he speaks to us. An important thing to understand about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is the life force of God. And if you are not connected to the Holy Spirit, God's life force is not connected to you. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Holy Spirit is what man lost in the garden. It's why there was a separation created between man and God. It's why we died when we rebelled against God. Because it cuts the Holy Spirit off. Even Jesus understands what this is like. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's going to hell to take the keys of captivity, to conquer hell and death. But in order to conquer death, he had to die. And spiritual death is the only true death. I don't think Jesus was in agony because his physical body was dying. But there comes a point where he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's what happened in the garden. The Holy Spirit was cut off from us. We knew it immediately. Man knew that he was naked. He became ashamed. That's why Jesus came back. He came back to reestablish the connection of man in the Spirit to God in the Spirit. He came to link the Holy Spirit back up to man. In Matthew 18:11, Jesus says that he came to save that which was lost. Not those who were lost. He said, I came to save that which was lost. What was lost? What was lost was a man created in the image and the likeness of God. A man who had been given dominion over the earth. A three-part being just like God. A man that God fellowshipped with. A spirit that talked and walked with a spirit. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water of repentance, unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus didn't come just for the repentance. There was already a Holy Ghost-filled man preaching repentance. Jesus came to not baptize with water. Jesus came to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Jesus came to hook the line of the Holy Spirit back up to man again. For what purpose? Because God wants to talk and to walk with you. Just like he did with Adam. Just like he did with Jesus, who is called the second Adam and the last Adam. He wants to speak to us those things that are spirit and our life. You cannot understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit. You cannot really fully understand what Jesus did for you at the cross without the Holy Spirit. We can read the words and go, yeah, I get that. I understand that. But without the Holy Spirit, it's not going to change anything in you. It's really not going to change anything in you at all. Without the Holy Spirit, you can read the words and you can even do like I did at the beginning. You can open up the dictionary and you can see what the definition of the word, and that gives you kind of some more understanding. But if you really want to understand it, if you really want it to be not just second nature to you, but really the nature to you, the Word of God, that it is immediately the way that you respond to everything in every situation in life, if you really want to understand the mystery that is hidden in this, it requires the Holy Spirit. In Proverbs 8, it describes the Holy Spirit. I'll just read a couple things out of that. Because you need to understand the Spirit. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. So if you want wisdom, if you want understanding, these things that you read in Proverbs, get wisdom, get understanding, you got to get the Holy Spirit. It says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places and the paths. She crieth at the gates, and the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men." In verse 13, it says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward," which means perverse mouth, "do I hate." 17, "I love them that seek me, and those who seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I love those that seek me, and those who seek I love them that love me, and those that seek me early who find me." You need to seek the Holy Spirit. You need to pursue the Holy Spirit. You want to see things changed in your life? There are things that you need to understand that you don't understand. The Holy Spirit will show you these things. And we find the Holy Spirit in the Word. We find its life in the Word. Proverbs 2, verse 1. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commands within thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom; out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." So there are several aspects to the Spirit and knowing the Spirit. But the one I want to talk about tonight is the one that God has really just had on my heart. And that is speaking in other tongues. This is not a small thing. This is not a light thing. This is an important thing. It's so important that Jesus listed it in the Great Commission. The evidence of the Spirit of life inside of you. Let's see, is, I forget to put that one down. There you go, Mark 16:17. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. they will speak with new tongues. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. It's the second thing on the list. It's important. It's very important. Why is it important? John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you the things to come. He will glorify me, he will receive me of mine, and show it unto you. In Romans 8:26-28, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them who are called according to his purpose. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There is a heavenly form of communication, and it is the gift of speaking other tongues. There are places where tongues is used as a point of prophecy in a body to edify the body. And that's a good thing. But as far as your personal arsenal, your personal workings, other than reading the Bible, there really is nothing greater you can do to edify yourself, which means to build yourself up, than to pray in other tongues. Paul said himself, when he was having to correct some things that were going on with improper use of the gift in tongues in a church service, he said, listen, I speak tongues more than you all. He obviously thought it was important. He made a point to point it out. You know, you think tongues is important? Hey, you're right, tongues is important. And I guarantee you, I speak in tongues more than any of you. Why? Because when we pray in the Spirit, we are speaking directly to God. And God is speaking directly to us. And it's imparting things into us. And it's moving things and it's changing things inside of us. It's bringing in understanding that there are no human words to even give you that understanding. Paul said, when he talked about the man that he didn't know if it was in a dream or in reality, a man who went to heaven. And the things that he saw in heaven, he said there were no human words to describe those things. So if God is trying to impart something into you, if he is trying to bring some understanding of heaven into you, he's not going to do it in English or Spanish or French or whatever your native tongue is. Because he said, I can't even tell you what I saw. There are no human words to describe it. So when you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done in this earth as it is in heaven, God cannot impart those things to you in your language. and even the things that we have in our language, to really grab a hold of it, we are not going to get just in our mind. We are not just going to get in our understanding. It comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. When it comes to things that we don't understand, people like to quote this one a lot. 1 Corinthians 2, 8 and 9. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So you can love God, you can give your life to Jesus, and you can still not see or hear or have in your heart the things that God has prepared for you. And people just leave it at that. Well, God knows. It's in God's will. Who knows? We'll see what God will do. And to a certain degree, there is that element of faith. But faith is the substance of things, the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for. So when we read around the verse, you should do this sometime. All these great verses you hear, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings like eagles, they shall run not, grow weary, they shall walk and not faint. You should read the verses before that. It's pretty enlightening. And after. It's pretty enlightening. So here's the after of the verse that everybody likes to quote in their religious humility. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So you hear this thing that deep cries out to deep. This is how deep cries out to deep. It is done in the Spirit. It is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is done in communication with the Holy Spirit. If you want to understand the deep things of God, you are not going to understand it if you break down every Greek and Hebraic translation, if you look up every Webster definition of every word in this Bible. Without the Holy Spirit, it's just a book that's got good teachings in it. Even the most secular of our founding fathers, who didn't want Jesus preached, the miracles of Jesus taught, said Jesus is a good moral man, and we should teach his teachings. Acts 19, 1 through 6. And it came to pass that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much heard that there were a Holy Ghost. So right there. People who say, well, geez, when you get saved, you get the Holy Ghost. Nope. Here's believers. Not only believers, here are disciples, people who are in their intent following the doctrine of Christ, have submitted themselves to his teachings to learn to walk in his ways. This isn't somebody who just said a salvation prayer. This is somebody who has chosen to be a disciple of Christ. Or at least a disciple of Jesus, because Christ is the anointed one and his anointing. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. So they're following the doctrines of Jesus. And they're like, we have not heard that there is a Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. This is the thing that pretty much anybody who considers themselves a Christian is baptized unto, if you don't have the Holy Ghost. Then Paul said, which is the remissions of sin, if you missed that, sorry. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. If you're unsure if you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, here's a pretty clear sign. Search it out in the Scripture. It's pretty hard to find a place where somebody was baptized in the Holy Spirit that it did not immediately say that they received the evidence of other tongues. Why? Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit allows you to speak to the Spirit of God and to understand the deep things that a human mind cannot understand. It said they began to prophesy. That's to declare God's word. Paul said, as he was talking about the gifts and the things that were most desirable, he said, of all the things you could do, I would pray that you would prophesy above everything else. Why? Because to prophesy is to speak what God speaks. It isn't even just a "just saith the Lord" as we understand prophecy. It is looking at a situation and it is declaring by the power of the Spirit of God inside of you, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, that by his stripes you were healed. Thus saith the Lord, that which God has brought together, no man shall put asunder. Thus saith the Lord, all my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. It is declaring what God has declared. And when it's more than you just quoting a scripture, but it is the Holy Ghost inside of you declaring the power of God according to his word, it moves things in the spirit. You see things around you that are not right, things that need to be changed in people's lives, people that need to be brought back to the Lord, whatever the situation is, it is the power of the Holy Ghost declaring the word of God that will make the difference. So as I close here, that was kind of short for me. Usually a lot more long-winded than that. But I guess that's what the Holy Ghost does. Helps us not have to use so many words. Here's a thought for you. Heard a man of God speak this, and it said something deep, deep inside of me. So if you want one good reason of why you need the Holy Ghost, here's that reason. And after we close, if there's anybody who would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, come up. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. All right. So here's a couple things to ponder. If you have your Bible, open them with me. Let's go to 1 Peter 5 through 8. I'm sorry, not 5 through 8. 1 Peter 5, 8. I'm not going to read it up there because I want you to find it with me so that you can read it in your Bible. If you've got it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Lion food. Turn with me to Genesis 3:14. So this is where God is giving Satan his reward for helping man fall. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. If you do not have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you're nothing more than a walking pile of dust. You are the thing that God said Satan was to eat. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to breathe his breath. You need to drink his water. You need to eat his meat. You need the Holy Spirit. Because without it, it's not even Satan's choice. He was instructed to devour the dust of the earth. That is what God gave him to eat. So, Father God, Lord, we just lift up this night for you. Lord, we pray that it glorifies you. Lord, I pray over each and every person here that if they do not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that this stirred something. It gave them an appetite for something they may not have considered before. And Father God, if they have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that you teach us how to operate in that more and more each day. This is how we can fulfill your word that says to pray without ceasing. To be able to speak to you in the Spirit allows us to pray in a way that our carnal mind cannot do. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, let it become a bragging point of us that we pray in the Spirit more than anyone else. Not so that we can say, hey, look at us, but Father God, because it edifies us, it builds us up, it brings us life, it teaches us the deep things of God, it reveals the mysteries of the heavens to us, Father God. It develops the Spirit of Christ in us. the mystery that the Gentiles seek, Lord. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to come upon this people, to come in spirit and in fire, to burn away the things of this world, to burn away the chaff of the flesh, Father God. And let only that which is holy and pure, the gold and the silver of your word, remain in us, Father God. Let it create a burning hunger, an unquenchable thirst, an unsatisfiable hunger in us, Lord. Because these words that you speak to us, they are spirit and they are life. In Jesus' name we pray.